Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have now come to that time in the season of our church life when we enter into the Lenten Triodion. The Lenten Triodion. That's this book here. You might wonder why it's called the Lenten Triodion. The reason is simply because as we enter into this somber and more penitential season of the church year in preparation for Holy Pascha, as we enter into that somber and penitential season, we are guided by the services as they're written in this book. All the variable hymns are now going to follow what's written here. And the reason it's called the Triodion is because normally when you have a canon in our worship, it's followed by 9 odes. Usually we only do 8 of them, but it's usually those full odes, all of them. But during this season, we only do 3 of those odes. And the ones that are normally more praised and glorying and all that, we kind of cut those out. And we focus on the somber ones. But that's only during the weekdays of Matins. During the weekdays of Matins, we do 3 odes for the canon. That's why it's called Triodion. Having said that, on Sundays, remember, people, every Sunday is a celebration of Pascha. Every Sunday. Even during the heart of Great Lent, when we celebrate on Sundays, we celebrate the resurrection. And then we do all the odes. Okay? But normally, during the week, it's just 3 odes. So much for this book. I'm going to set it down. And by the way, that book is worth buying, even though you might not take note too much of what hymns are chosen, simply because it's worth buying, simply because Bishop Callistus Ware has written a beautiful introduction on Great Lent, the history of Great Lent, how it developed in history, the meaning of Great Lent, how we observe Great Lent, and why we observe the way we do. It's worth buying that whole book just for that. It's almost like a little book within a book. Now back to my notes. Another thing I want to point out this morning, this isn't really preaching so much as a little bit of teaching. I'd like to point out that we enter upon a special season of fasting during Great Lent. Fasting. And I'm not here to criticize anything, but I didn't grow up with fasting. Okay, in my Protestant tradition, I grew up with many, many wonderful things, and I still think so highly of the Calvinist heritage that I had. But one thing, we just didn't fast. I really don't know why. I don't know if we can blame John Calvin. I don't know. But we fast. Why do we fast? Fasting was a practice in the Old Testament. Before they would celebrate Pascha, every year they'd celebrate, the Pascha, the going through the Red Sea with Moses and God delivering them from the Egyptians, they would always begin that feast with a fast. And it was called eating the bread of affliction. In the New Testament, do we find fasting in the New Testament? Well, the Jews certainly continued their fasting. In the New Testament, the Pharisees fasted on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's why you have this Pharisee in our gospel reading. He stands up there boldly and says, "Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like all those evil people around. And like that guy over there, that tax collector, I don't know why he's here, but I'm not like him, Lord. I thank you for that. And he said, and I fast twice a week. Lord have mercy, what a wonderful man. You know, we kind of make fun of him. But really, I remember when I was in college, a best friend of mine, and we talked about this very text one time. And he said, you know, we should be thankful that we are not extortioners, that we're not adulterers, that we're not murderers. We should thank God for those things. But we do it with a spirit of humility. Thank God that by His grace, He has brought us to a life that isn't dominated by those extravagant sins. Okay? But what was wrong with this man's prayer then? He despised others. He despised others. And we should never, ever come with a haughty spirit, certainly not in the presence of God. That man didn't know God to come before God with such a haughty spirit. Well, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about fasting. I got off track a little bit. So we fast. You say, well, so the Pharisees fasted twice a week. What is our practice? From the beginning, in the New Testament already, from the beginning, the New Testament church fasted. And I say, well, when Jesus was there, his disciples didn't fast. Matter of fact, John the Baptist's disciples noted that too. Well, you know, we fast and the Pharisees fast. Everyone fasts, Lord. John the Baptist fasts. But you and your disciples don't. Why is that? And if the kids were up here, I'd ask them if they know why, but I'll ask the adults. Why? What was Jesus' answer? Okay, you usually answer this. We're going to let some of the other ones answer. Bruce, you can't. Okay. Anyone else? Jesus said, as long as the bridegroom, as long as the groom is with them, the bridegroom is with them, they will not fast. They rejoice. But as soon as the bridegroom leaves, as soon as Christ ascends into heaven and leaves, then they will fast. Okay? So we're on this side of the ascension. We're on this side of the death and resurrection of Christ. And we fast. And you find that in the New Testament. The disciples are people who fast. They fast for special occasions. And the early church right away fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays. Wednesday, the day that Judas conspired to hand over Christ and betray Christ, on Wednesday. That's when it all started with a vengeance. And then on Friday, why do we fast on Fridays? Because that's the day when Christ died on the cross. But we also, so the church did that, and we do that to this day. Throughout the church year, we fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. But we also fast for special occasions. And I remember one of those occasions being it was Paul and Barnabas and others were meeting together in Antioch, and the Holy Spirit spoke with them while they were fasting and praying, and said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas and send them out to the Gentiles to preach the good tidings. So, should we fast? Should we fast?
Yeah.
Yes. And this is a special season for fasting. You can list several reasons. I'm not going to go through all the reasons, but one of the reasons is simply because this body is so susceptible to all the passions of the life. All the passions of life. Eating and everything else. Eating. I'm not terribly overweight. I tell you, I struggle with that passion as much as any, maybe not as much as everybody, but I think all of us know the struggle with eating food. We have to do it. And we can't just say, I'm not going to eat. We have to. And then it's hard to say no to too much. Anyway, so rather than let these passions control us, we control them. This body needs to be brought into subjection. Remember the Apostle Paul said, I put my body into subjection. I pommel my body. I beat the body down and keep it in subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. We have to control ourselves, and fasting is one way of doing that. So it's a preparation, and we are preparing right now then to celebrate the Feast of Pascha, which is 10 weeks away. I counted them out on the calendar. We're exactly 10 weeks from Pascha, and here we are already getting ready for the fast. So, how do we prepare? First of all, we prepare for the fast season by not fasting. Honestly, that's the first thing we do in the first Sunday of the Lenten Triodion, is we look at someone who is a great faster but does it for all the wrong reasons. And because of that, we are told by the Church that we do not deserve even to enter into the fast until we come with the right heart. And so we look at the Pharisee, and the Church says, if that's the kind of fasting we're going to do, it's better to do none. And so this week we don't fast. There's no fasting this week. Not even on Wednesdays and Fridays, nothing. And that's not so that we can be gluttons. It's that we be contrite and say, Lord, give me the grace to fast, to give alms, to pray in a spirit that honors you and is good for my own soul. So, we have these prayers. I just want to point out that we began finally today, this morning. We began the first time to sing this Lenten Troparion after Psalm 50. Open to me the doors of repentance, O life-giver, for my soul goeth early to the temple of thy holiness, coming in the temple of my body wholly polluted. But because thou art compassionate, purify me by the compassions of thy mercies. Open to me the doors of repentance, we pray. God is the only one who can open those doors for us. We don't open them on our own. God opens the doors for us to enter into this season of fasting. It's a gracious act of God. And he opens up and says, come. Come to me. And how do we come? Like the penitent sinner. Like the tax collector. So we are going to be praying, and well, we'll be singing that Troparion now for some time. But we are also called to pray this following prayer, which is one of my favorites during this season. And we're going to be praying this short prayer over and over and over again throughout all of the services of Great Lent. O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, meddling, lust of power, and idle talk, but give rather the spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. Yea, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own sins, and not to judge my brother, for thou art blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. We will be saying that prayer in our services during the weekday services, especially during Great Lent. And we are supposed to say this prayer for our private and for our personal prayers. When we do the Trisagion prayers, when we do the prayers getting up in the morning or going to bed at night, we say this prayer. And if you need, tell me, and I'll print some of these out for you. Yes, you'd like me to? Next week, I will come with a bunch of these printed out, okay? I should have done it this week. Forgive me. But this is
put
the prayer
that...
Pardon me?
Can we just put it in email?
Yeah.